welcome to Thriving as a Physician, the podcast that teaches you to thrive in your weight loss and life while juggling a packed physician schedule, because you deserve to thrive. Each week, I share sustainable, enjoyable tools that work in your busy life so that you can reach all of your goals faster with more confidence. Everything in this podcast is backed by my experience as an obesity medicine physician, years of coaching physicians on weight loss and eating, and my own personal weight loss journey. Let's get thriving. This podcast contains general educational information on weight loss for physicians. I am not providing medical advice, and listening to this podcast does not create a physician-patient relationship. This podcast does not replace the need for consultation with a licensed professional, and no information should be relied upon unless you have obtained specific advice or treatment from myself or another physician. Please review the terms and conditions located at www.weightsolutionsforphysicians.ca before continuing. Hello and welcome to episode 282 of the Thriving as a Physician podcast. I'm your host, Siobhan Key. I got to tell you, when I announce these episodes number, there's always a piece of me that's like, holy crap, we really got into that many. I still so vividly remember sitting and recording like the single digit episodes with and feeling completely petrified about it as I recorded them for you guys. So now like getting close to 300 kind of blows my mind slightly. I really hope that you're enjoying this podcast and that you continue to find it helpful. If you do, I would love it if you could take the time to leave a review and share it with some physician friends. Physicians need this information, even if they're not directly working on their eating or weight. A lot of the themes that we talk about in this podcast improve physicians' lives. And we, as a whole, as physicians, are struggling. We've been struggling for years, but the pandemic made it worse. Post-pandemic life has been really tough as a physician. We need more support. And coaching and this type of support is actually evidence-based. So share it. Spread the love. I would really appreciate it. It helps the podcast out so much. And honestly, just makes me feel happy and satisfied to know that physicians who need this are hearing about it and getting access to it. Today, what we are talking about is breaking up with food guilt. You know what? God, we spent so much time feeling guilty about food, feeling guilty about the food we ate, feeling guilty about the food we should eat, feeling guilty about the food we want to eat, right? Like so much food guilt. And I got to tell you, it doesn't help your journey. If you're wanting to eat healthy on a regular basis, if you're wanting to lose weight, spending a bunch of time feeling guilty about food gets in your way. It is not helping you. And it makes your days worse. Like when you go through your day, you know, dragging guilt from about what you ate last night into today. And then when you perceive that you're starting to make choices that are not healthy, you just start piling on more guilt. Think of all that effort that's involved with that. It's mental effort and it impacts other areas of your life. Like I think about this as almost dragging, like a pile of bricks behind you, right? You wake up in the morning feeling guilty about what you ate last night. And so you're already dragging some bricks first thing in the morning. And then as you go through the day, telling yourself feeling guilty about other stuff, maybe you catch a look in the mirror and judge your body in some way, and then give yourself guilty thoughts about other foods you've eaten, or maybe all the foods you've ever eaten in your entire life, right? It just adds more bricks. And so it ends up being this thing you drag through your days. And we've got a lot of stuff to focus on and to do in our days without dragging bricks. And if you think about, I'm trying to move towards a goal and I'm trying to do something in a very positive way in my life, it's hard to do that when I'm also dragging a whole lot of bricks that make me feel like crap behind me. It's just really hard to do. So we got to let go of this food guilt. I got to tell you, like if you're sitting listening and you're like, oh, geez, I've like food guilt, yes, got a lot of it. And maybe you're even worrying about letting go of it, that what will happen if I am not telling myself that I ate wrong when I eat food that's not healthy for me? Am I going to go off the rails? Am I going to eat all the things? Am I never going to focus on these goals? These are really common fears that we have because we've been taught the only way to be successful is to be really mean to ourselves about our eating. And just because that's the only way we've been taught doesn't mean it actually is the best or most effective way. It's not at all. So it's normal to feel a little trepidation, a little fear about making change that feels radical. But it's probably also some of the best change that you can make. And I know it. I've been there. I know how hard this is. I spent so much time feeling guilty about my eating. A description of the bricks, that was me. And then I would wake up feeling that guilt and thinking, okay, well, today's going to be different. I don't want to feel this guilt anymore, so I'm going to change my eating. And then by probably even lunchtime, I'm like, fuck it. I can't do this. You know, I just need something. I need a break. I'd go have something to eat, feel guilty about it, which would then make me eat more in the evening, in the later afternoon, because after all, I blew it already. And then I would go to bed feeling like, oh, like, why do I always do this? I can't believe I did that again. I told myself I wasn't going to. And I would wake up feeling guilty about it the next morning. And the whole thing in this is that the guilt, the tough love, never created change for me. And it's probably not creating change for you. The tough love made my days feel like crap, made me feel horrible about myself, made it hard for me to see the real things I needed to change to feel more in control of food. It's like the magician trick, right? Like you distract so people don't really see what's going on. And I think all of this overfocus about good food, bad food, what I should eat, shouldn't eat, is like the magician's distraction. It's the smokescreen. When we're focusing on it, we're not actually seeing, why am I actually wanting to eat that stuff? And I think some of this is, it would be easier in quotation marks. We think it would be easier if it really was just a food issue. If all we had to do was just be like, okay, Siobhan, stop eating that food, eat more of this food. And dutiful Siobhan was like, oh, thank you. I appreciate it. I hadn't thought of that. All right, I will do that. And then it all went smoothly after that. Right? Like that's the way I think I pictured it would be. It never happened. Has it happened to you? Did it work for anybody? If it worked for you, tell me. I would love to hear. The reality, or like what we think, is that that would be easier than actually looking at what are the aspects of my life that actually aren't working for me, that my brain is then using food to try to fix, but the food can't actually fix those aspects. And for me, in those days that I just described, it was a lot of stuff, but it was really coming down to how I was living my days without any space for me, because I thought I didn't deserve space. Not deserve's not the right word, I don't think. I thought I couldn't have space as a mom of little kids, including twins, a doctor working full service family practice, obstetrics, eMERGE, all the things. I didn't think I could. I didn't think I fit into that. I was literally just trying to survive. And as long as I was living my life like I was just trying to survive, there was no space to figure out my eating. And, I often look back to that version of myself, and I encourage you to do the same with you, is looking back and just acknowledging, like, she was working really, really hard. She was doing really hard stuff. And she was doing it not knowing how to actually care for herself. Like, if you think about our lives as physicians, we dream about becoming a doctor. We go through all our training waiting for the day to become a doctor where we actually have control over our own schedules. And then it hits us. And nobody actually prepares us about how do you live a life as a doctor. All of our training, all of our work is how do you become a doctor? How do you be a good doctor? But nobody teaches us how do you live a life as a doctor. So then you hit the ground running. You've got a little bit of imposter syndrome. So you're trying to not let people think that you're, or see that maybe you're not up to the task, like that little voice inside you says to you. And so then you overwork to try to overcompensate. And then we get handed, that's not the right word. If, you know, we decide to have kids, then all of a sudden you get this extra role that you also have to try to fit into your life. And it's very easy for you as the individual and your needs to disappear. And then your brain's like, well, this is really hard. How can we feel better? And food becomes a really easy option. And I'm explaining all this to you because I think it's really important in the context of talking about food guilt. If we really talk about what is the eating about, because if we think the eating is just about food and I'm just so overly attractive to food, it may be harder to let go of the guilt. If we're like, This eating is because when it's happening on a reoccurring basis and it's something that I don't think supports my health or my long-term goals, doesn't necessarily make me feel good, we have to ask, why is it happening? And it's happening because there is something going on in your life that isn't working for you as an individual. And that takes a little bit of courage and bravery to actually look at and be like, what is it that's not working for me? Right? It can feel scary because it can feel like if I start questioning this life that I've worked so hard for and have been scrambling to build, what's going to happen to it? Is it going to fall to pieces? Will it disintegrate in front of my eyes? It takes courage to be able to be like, what are the aspects that aren't working for me? And I know I can look at them, examine them, and trust that I'm going to be okay. And that ultimately is what it takes to sort out stress eating, binge eating, to be able to manage your eating and weight long-term as a physician. And because of those elements, because it can feel kind of scary, it can feel risky. Sometimes it just feels totally hidden, like you feel oblivious to the actual reasons, which is normal, by the way. That's why coaching works and why I have Thrive Academy for Physicians, is so that you don't actually have to do it on your own. You come join Thrive Academy and you have me as your support, as your expert, and I can spot those things that are hard for you to see. I can support you in looking at things and finding ways of looking at it that feels safe and more comfortable for you. So we struggle with the eating because our lives are tough and because we are actually trained to not include ourselves in the equation of our days. And that feels horrible. Nobody likes to be erased from the equation of their days. I think we probably have more tolerance of it as physicians because it literally is part of our training that our needs go way below anybody else's needs. But it still doesn't feel good. And anything that you're doing in your life over and over again that doesn't feel good, your brain will find a way to try to fix it and try to help you feel better. Our brains don't like to not feel good. And so for a lot of you listening, I assume it's probably food. Other people, it might be wine at night. It might be shopping. It might be gambling. There's a lot of different ways that our brains will try to feel better, looking for ways that it can get easy dopamine. And again, I'm talking about this because knowing why it's happening, I'm hoping will make it easier to let go of the guilt and recognize that the guilt's actually misplaced. Like, what if you didn't have anything to feel guilty about if you look at it of, I'm eating food that doesn't necessarily help support my body's health, but I'm doing it because in this moment, it's all I can think of to try to feel better after a really hard day, a really hard week, months of a really hard life. It feels a little less guilt-inducing, right? And it's far more true than I should never have eaten that food. Eating had a positive intention behind it. Maybe the execution isn't really what you want for yourself long term, but there's a reason that's positive behind it. So also when we're talking about food guilt, we really need to look at the morality that people have taught us to have on food, right? There's this good food, there's this bad food. And either way, if we're thinking, oh, I'm good because I chose good food today, or oh, I'm horrible, I'm bad because I chose these bad food options, either way can actually mess you up and make you feel a little bit weird. If we are looking, even if I'm like, oh, I'm so good because I've eaten healthy salads for the last couple of days, it's still setting up this dichotomy of that good and bad food exists. And if I'm telling myself I'm so good because I've been eating all the good food, it means that I still hold a belief that there are bad foods out there. And the minute I change and shift over to eating something I perceive as quote unquote bad, I will feel guilty about it. Because our brains have assigned this morality index of good food, bad food, and associated ourselves in that equation where we think we are good or we are bad based on the food choices we make. What if food was just food? What if some food had, you know, more nutritional impact on your body? Some food you chose more because of its flavor or its texture? What if it was all just food? Sit with that moment, notice discomfort that might be coming up. I suspect for a lot of you listening, it's going to be like, but it's not just food. It is bad. I shouldn't be eating that. That ice cream is bad. Now, what I want you to notice is when we're talking about food like that ice cream is bad. I should not have that. I'm never going to eat that again. What does that do to your interest in that particular food? It makes you want it more, right? It draws you to it. So having this morality index, this guilt around the food actually draws you more towards it. It makes you more likely to think about it, to crave it, and ultimately eat it, and then make yourself feel guilty about it. Telling yourselves that it's a bad food doesn't help anything. It's like telling yourselves, think about this when we're having conversations with people who smoke about smoking cessation, about saying, if we just said, well, those cigarettes are bad. They're bad. You should not smoke them. Previous years of physicians, generations of physicians tried that, right? That was the general approach for a long time, and it doesn't actually work. Very few patients would say to you, oh, really? This is bad? Oh, okay. Yeah, no, I'll stop, right? They know it's bad. People who smoke are aware that it has impact to their health, but there's other reasons why they're smoking, and feeling guilty about it doesn't make them stop. So having that conversation with yourself about food, this is bad, you should feel guilty about this, probably isn't going to make you stop eating it. If food is just food, if when you make a food choice, some food choices help move you towards your weight goals or health goals, some food choices may not help move you towards those goals, but if they're all just choices, just food, it takes away that high stakes feeling to it and lets you have more space to examine that underlying stuff that we were talking about. Oh, you know what? Jeez, I notice that I keep going through the drive-thru after my full office days. What is it about those days that's making it feel so compelling to go through the drive-thru? What is my brain trying to fix on those days? When you're telling yourself that it was bad that you went through that drive-thru, that you never should have gone through that drive-thru, that you're never going to do it again, notice how there's no space to look at what is actually creating that pattern. What is driving me to do that? And when we're holding on to the guilt, we can't actually find the real solutions that are going to help you sort this out long-term. So we have to let go of that guilt. We have to work towards food being more neutral. I say more neutral because I think it might be a bit of a stretch to be like, oh, food is just all neutral. Go ahead, because that's not the society that we live in. But if you can start to notice when you're really assigning polarized opinions of food, this food is good, this food is bad, and just try to shift and be like, maybe it's just food. Maybe, you know, the way I think about the food that's less healthy for me is, you know, I'm choosing to eat food that I don't normally eat is the way I say it to myself. Not food I'm not allowed to eat, but food that I have really good reasons as to why I don't eat it on a regular basis. Which brings us to your reasons, right? If the only reason we're using for if I eat something, if I don't eat something is it good or bad? Am I allowed to or not? You're going to stay stuck in food guilt and feeling really polarized and swinging back and forth between those food decisions. If we can work on what are the actual reasons, why might I choose to eat that salad? I'm going to pack myself a salad for lunch today that I'm actually kind of looking forward to because it's really good. But why might I pack that salad versus just picking something up? And I actually had this conversation with myself this morning because I was like, oh, like I start my office at noon. There's meeting and rounding before that, and time's going to be tight. And so I was like, oh, well, you know what? That initial response is, I'll just grab something on my way, which generally would, that piece of my brain is thinking fast food. And so I had this conversation of, okay, well, I always start my conversations with that, guys. And I think that gets rid of a lot of food guilt. Could totally do that. I could choose that today's a day where I just don't worry about bringing food. I just find something on the way. But why might I actually want to pack a salad or to pack, I was like, pack something. And then in my brain, I'm like, well, what do I have to pack? And then I was like, oh, there's that salad that we made on Saturday night that's got really delicious little toppings. Like I made some low carb candied pecans. It's got a delicious dressing, some like roasted corn and things like that on it. So I feel excited about it. And I was like, why might I actually prefer that? And so basically what my brain went through was thinking, what would it look like if I took that salad? What would it be involved in prepping it? What would it be like to eat it? How would I feel afterwards? And then on the other hand, I was like, what would it look like if I don't pack something? What am I going to end up eating? How am I going to feel afterwards? And I walked down both of those paths in order to make the decision. And what I came up with, without telling myself I'm not allowed to, and it would be bad if I went through a drive-through, I came up with, I'm going to pack that salad because it's actually what I prefer. It's going to taste better than anything I could get through a drive-through, and I will feel better. And it probably also will be faster because it's just me loading some stuff into leftover containers and then quickly eating it at the office compared to like driving somewhere else, drive-through, all of that sort of stuff. So the point is, having better reasons why you're making food choices helps let go of the guilt. If I went through that whole thought process in my brain, I'm like, you know what? I actually just feel like having fast food today. Because I've thought it through and because I told myself I can totally have that, what it means is I can have the fast food without feeling guilty, but then I'm also more likely to just get back to the food I normally eat because I'm not layering on those extra levels of guilt. Can you see the difference? If I go through fast food and I'm like, oh, I can't believe we're doing this again. Why do we always do this? I'm going to feel guilty. I'm going to feel disempowered. I'm going to feel out of control. I'm going to feel frustrated at myself. All of those feelings are far more likely to make me, you know, go back to have fast food again later in that week, make other food choices, because I will have a belief that I am not in control of my eating and that I always eat poorly. All those thoughts that are really, really common. And if you hold them, I want you to know you're not alone. I'm able to do this thinking pattern that I've shown you because I've spent so much time managing my own weight, losing a significant amount, and then maintaining it and managing it in real life as a physician. And I've had to come up with these strategies so I can navigate real life with ease. When you honor the fact that you can actually choose to eat anything you want, it means if you choose to eat that, it's just a choice. You're the one in control. You made a choice based on evaluating all your options. And then it's more likely to just move on and be like, yeah, you know, that was okay. Maybe you'd even notice that it actually wasn't that good, because when we're saying I shouldn't be eating this and this is so bad, we usually eat it so fast that we don't notice that it may not actually be good, right? We don't want to notice the food we're eating because we feel so guilty that we're eating it. If you've made decisions, you might be like, oh, you know what? These fries are kind of cold and they don't taste that good. I don't think I'm going to finish them. Just by having different reasons why you're heading there and really looking at your different options. So letting go of the food guilt, breaking up with food guilt. First of all, we need to recognize why we're doing it. Why is it important? And the reason why is it doesn't help you. And it's also misplaced. The things we're feeling guilty about are not bad things in our life. They are our brain trying to fix stuff that is, you know, we might not be feeling satisfied or is not addressing our own needs in our lives, but we're distracted by looking at the food, so we don't notice that piece of it. We have to let go of the morality index of the foods. We have to stop thinking foods are good or bad. Food is just food. There's some food that works better for your body, some food that, you know, might taste good but doesn't work that great for your body. And you get to navigate life figuring out, how do I find a balance of these foods? Because life is never about just perfectly only eating healthy food. It's not really how our society functions or how our brain functions around food. It's more about finding that balance of, mainly I eat food that supports my body, but sometimes I eat food just because it sounds good and tastes good, or it's a fun situation that I'm eating in. Third is really working on, why do you want to make these food choices? What is the actual reason? Rather than thinking, I can't eat that because it's a bad food, that's a pretty weak reasoning and it doesn't work. Thinking, you know, if I eat that food, what's my day going to be like? How am I going to feel? Is that actually what I want for myself? Knowing I could have that food at any point, I could have it later today, tomorrow, next week, anytime I can have that food because no food is off limits. This is really important. There is no food that's off limits because the truth of our lives are we can have any food we want. We're lucky. We're privileged in that way in North America of there is no shortage of food. We can go and access food when we need it in whatever volumes we desire. So never tell yourself you can't have food. Of course, if I choose not to have the fast food this afternoon, part of what it makes it easy to make that decision is I know, you know what, if I really decide I wanted it, I could have it later today. If I was like, man, that salad was a bad choice. I was missing out on the fast food. I could choose to have it later today. I could choose to have it tomorrow. If next week I really decide I want it, I can choose to have it. That creates freedom. And again, space to make the choice that to consider, is it actually that I want it now? If I could have it at any time, why do I want it now? Or is it possible that I'd prefer something else? And like I said, it's really hard to have that space and have those conversations with yourself when we're thinking that the food is bad and that you should be guilty because you're even thinking about it or because of what you ate last night. All of that guilt destabilizes your ability to really find the true solutions that are going to work for you, to discover the ways of talking to yourself about your food choices that really help you feel empowered, help you feel in control, help you start to trust yourself. All right. I hope that this was helpful. Like I said at the beginning, letting go of food guilt often feels uncomfortable because we have been taught that it is part of dieting. It's part of controlling our weight, that we have to feel guilty in order to be successful. Not true at all. We've been handed a huge set of lies around that. And actually, it impairs your ability to be successful. So just because it feels uncomfortable right now, that's okay. Keep working on it. It's still worthwhile to work on. It still will make a huge difference. Just picture if you didn't have to feel guilty about anything you ate throughout your day, just that little change, how much space would that create in your life, right? It's pretty big. All right. I would love to hear your thoughts. Send me an email, info@weightsolutionsforphysicians.ca. And like I said at the beginning, if you really identify with what we're talking about, if you are a physician and you spend a lot of your life feeling guilty about food, feeling like you're out of control around food, beating yourself up about the food that you ate, and feeling frustrated that as a physician, you can't seem to get this aspect of your life under control, well, then you need to come join us in Thrive Academy for Physicians. I've been there. I know what it's like. And that's why I created this program for you so that you don't have to do it alone, because you deserve to actually go through your days feeling good about what you've eaten, feeling good about yourself, so that the food piece can actually move to the back of your mind. It doesn't have to be at the forefront of your mind. You can be eating healthy, but it's almost functioning a little bit on autopilot. So you have space to focus on the things you actually want to think about in your life. So your extra time isn't taken up by focusing on food. And in that, you build the skills that help you manage your eating and weight for the rest of your life, so that you become the physician that can be around the donuts in the doctor's lounge and not actually be bothered by them. If you choose to eat one, it's fine. You can enjoy it. But you can also sit there, watch other people grab them and not actually be bothered by them. That is totally possible. You just need a different set of skills. And it's what I teach you inside Thrive Academy for Physicians. So if you're interested, head over to Start to Thrive. That's start2thrive.ca and fill out an application form. Step one is you fill out the application form. Step two, we set up a time to have a conversation directly, you and me, to talk about your specific challenges and how I can help to make sure that it's a really good fit. And then if you feel that it's a good fit, step three is you join and we get going together on sorting out even your biggest eating and weight challenges so that you never feel alone. You always feel supported and you learn the simplest places to create change where you work less hard and you see a bigger impact in your eating, but also in the quality of your days and how you feel in your days. So you feel better, you feel more in control around food, and your body feels good, you have energy. Sound good? head over to start2thrive.ca. That's start2thrive.ca. I can't wait to see your application. Have a fantastic day, guys. We'll talk to you later. Bye-bye.